brother.
God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Time is yours.
Thank you, thank you. Good morning. You know what, if it's anything that I really appreciate from those guys that invent things and so, is this little thing that you can talk, and regardless of how far are you from the pulpit, I still can reach you. I guess it was God's idea, you know, that no matter where you are, He's going to have a way to reach and make Him be heard by us. Anyway, it is a pleasure, and I really mean it, to be in this church, like almost been every year. I see your pastor once in a while in other places, very important places. Sometimes it's playing softball or something, you know. Playing golf. No, you play golf, brother?
If I play golf, they usually have to shut down the course for a little while afterwards to fix it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that later. Okay. But it's a pleasure to be here. I just want to be a blessing. I don't have anything new. Everything I have is from the old good Bible. So whether it be new to us at one given time, praise the Lord. But it's something that we know, and sometimes I forgot about that, or you know, something. So without any more delay, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but if I ask how many of us here know how to pray, and some, me for instance, I go like, well, I do, and sometimes I'm in a hurry, sometimes, you know, and then, well, no, why? And I'm one of them. We pray, we talk to the Lord, and let me put it this way, the Lord had 12 apostles. We're not going to count the guy that went and bought a little tie, and it was kind of a rope, and then hung himself, but he's not counting him. He had 11 left, and later on within 10, 12 days or whatever, 2 weeks after he went to heaven, then they replaced him. But even the apostles, they have been with the Lord for 3 straight years and change. They come to him at one time and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And teach us how to pray. It was not like, tell me what to pray, or give me a Our Father which is in heaven, you know, all of this. No, but teach us. And notice that they did not say, Lord, teach us how to preach. I would have loved to be there with him, say, hey, teach me how to preach. Lord, teach me how to love my neighbors as well. He spoke many a time about love one another. He didn't say, Lord, teach us how to conduct the Lord's Supper, or Lord, any other of the things that we do in the service. But they ask him about something very, very, very important that they all needed, because they all somehow they had a meeting or something. Well, you know, one of those parking lot meetings, and before they come to the Lord, and say, Lord, we got something to ask. I say, okay, what is it? We want you to teach us how to pray. And of course, he spoke about prayers in many, many, many ways. For instance, in Luke chapter 11, he says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples, said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Now, the first thing is the example of our Lord. He was praying. And if you just open the Bible about him and so, he won't take many verses when he's praying. He's talking to his Father. Now, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God himself. And he's talking to his Father, and he's praying to his Father. And then we have what people say, the Lord's Prayer, which I believe is an example of praying. If you want to really go and see the Lord's Prayer, go to John 17. And he empties his heart so many times. Just there, the night before that he was betrayed or he was going to be hung on the cross. But he talks to his Father in length. He talks about so many things, so many parts of doctrine that he talks to him that we learn in just one verse sometimes. So what I'm trying to say is, I need to have the consistency in praying. And to have the consistency in prayer, I would like to know the things that I'm going to tell him. And not only the things that I'm going to tell him, but I want to prepare myself to pray. I'm going to be facing the Lord. I'm going to be talking to him. So I want to prepare myself before I even go and call his holy name. They tell me that Hudson, the famous missionary, went to China, and he said that before you do anything for the Lord, and he put it this way, before you go and play the symphony, you better tune up your instrument. Since I heard this, it has made some effect on me. I cannot just go on witnessing. I cannot go and preach it. I cannot go and tell someone about something. I cannot go to the hospital and try to encourage someone if I'm not encouraged first. So, well, brother, I came and, you know, and just somebody told me you were sick, so I'm going to pray for you, okay? Is that okay with you? I mean, I said, if you want my permission, why are you here then? I mean, you know what I mean. So, praying. And please believe me, this is not that I think that none of you nor none of us know how to pray. Yeah, we have prayed, right? But the Lord talks so much about prayer and then talks so much about the importance of praying that he gives us not only the way to do it, the words to do it, the how to do it, but then it shows the results about praying. Now, we're out here, what time, brother? Okay, thank you. Let me give you a commercial right now. For about the last 6-7 years, I sent a letter, and I said because it was on my own, but we got a group of people that got together, and we decided to invite our vice president and the president of the United States to see if they will accept the idea of all Christians or most Christians in the United States to pray 24/7. And 24/7, it's from the book of Revelation when the 24 elders were praying day and night. See, that's a new one for many people. So we sent the letters, we sent this and that. I heard we got your letter, we'll see what we can do. And that was even before his inauguration. And some of the pastors and all the people that are in it and say, have you heard anything? I said, not yet, not yet, not yet. And every time comes another problem, and then another problem, another problem. And I said, if we just, the Christians of this nation will be praying, I bet you, or I guarantee you that those things would not have happened. It's protection. And the Lord says, pray for the peace. Pray for peace. Not a false peace that the Antichrist is going to bring one of these days. We're, thank God, we're not going to be here. But the real peace, you know. And so anyway, and we could use some peace. Every day there's somebody that had a bomb somewhere in a bar in Arkansas and this and that, in California this, in Chicago 2-3 days ago. Every single day, and it's something, and then another demonstration, and then another this, and then people die in demonstrations. And come on, is the devil active? Yes, he is. But our prayers should be even more active than the devil's. So now was a commercial. You'll pray about that. And of course, if the Lord allows to do that and make the right contact and go and present the project that we have, you'll be the first one to know that. Of course. I mean, we got you on the list, brother. So we'll let you know. Now, in Luke 18, he gave us another example about praying. He says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, the men are always to pray and not to faint. Now, can we learn something from this? Oh, I have. First of all, it says, always. Always. Now, that doesn't mean that you're always going to be on your knees and all of a sudden do nothing but just praying and praying and praying. Before you're driving, you pray. Before we eat, we pray. Before we have a business to take care of, we pray. Before we collect the offering, we pray. We pray, 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 pray. It says always, always, always to pray. Sometimes we forget. This lady here, I'm from, we got this deal going on that we pray before we go to sleep. And we pray, and then we remember all the things and all the people there. They told us that they're suffering there in the hospital, that they did that, and then that. And you know what happens sometimes? We just cannot even finish the news. And we're so, and 30 minutes later, say, hey, we didn't pray. Oh, Lord, forgive us is the first thing. And then we go back to pray. But then in the morning, we go back to pray. And we do it this way. We go and read our Bible sometimes first, and then we pray, or vice versa. And we do it every morning. Yeah, we bring a cup of coffee. Yes, yes. The Lord did not say, don't bring your coffee to your prayer. I mean, he doesn't say that, right? So we bring a cup of coffee, we're there, and then we pray, and then we read our Bible, and we bring in a list of all the things that we know, and then the ones that we forgot, Lord, you know about them. And so it's becoming not a religion not a must do at that same time, but that's a nice habit that we have just been acquiring, and I'm sure the Lord is pleased with that. So he says that men are always to pray and not to faint. Don't lose heart on this. Don't say, oh, maybe the Lord is not listening to me. I don't know, I've been praying for this. And no, the Lord, okay, where are you, Lord? I mean, I've been looking for, I've been praying for this. And well, but if we pray a little bit, just like he said, he says, there was in a city a judge with fear no God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Now, surely we're not going to weary God. in anything. We're not going to make him worry or wear him about anything. But he's talking about, hey, just do it constantly. See what happens. Just do it over and over and over and over and see what happens. And then he said that he, not because we deserve it, not because he is good, that judge that he is putting on the parable, that judge was not necessarily good. He didn't even believe in God. But God is the one who's telling the parable, but I'm God. And if you pray constantly, surely I will hear you. And not because you deserve it, not because who you are, not because of your age, not because you are handsome, not because you're rich, not because you are not, none of those things, but because your consistency, I will do it. Okay? I will do it. So then he said, now hear what the unjust judge said. So there is hope, beloved, in to do it and do it again and do it again and pray again and pray again. And how many times in a group like this, somebody's praying and we know about little Johnny, he's sick and he's in the hospital or something. And Brother Joe says, and bless little Johnny. And somebody else says, bless little Johnny. And we all say amen. We say, but God said this. Man, those guys really mean business. They're all praying for little Johnny. Johnny, come on, get up and go home or something, you know. Because everybody is interested in the same subject. And this is how, well, we go into some examples about the church praying, you know. But so this was just introduction. Now go to John 17 and just put a mark there, but I'm just going to touch the first two to three verses there. Just to see how the Lord prayed. And it said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Boy, you show this to Jehovah Witnesses, and the first thing they say, well, I'm not sure that Jesus said that. You know what? You're not sure about your salvation, because you don't know how to be saved. I mean, just starting that, he is glorifying his Father. And I say, oh, Father, I glorify you like I have done it so many times and surely daily. So he prays. And if he prays, he was glorifying his Father, but he needed some encouragement as a man. As a human being that he was, he needed something. The next day, he knows that. He have seen the picture of him hanging there so many times. And so he needed encouragement about this, and he prays. And then he prays for his disciples. And then if you just keep on reading there on, let me see. Neither pray for this alone, verse 20, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verse 20, I see my name there. He was praying for me. He was praying for you. He said, not only I pray for these guys, the apostles, but also for those that are going to hear because of their word. We got their word here. We got Matthew, we got Luke. Well, he was not an apostle, but we got John. And then we got many other apostles, like in the case of Paul, for instance. And so because of their word that the Lord had given him, we have become saved. So he says, not only for them, but those that will believe because of their word. And I see that as, oh, thank you, Lord. 2,000 years ago, he was praying for me. He was praying for you too. This is how powerful prayer is. It has no limit in distance and no limit in time. It's powerful. It's powerful. And I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, but after he was taken up in Acts chapter 1, and we read from verse 8 and so, the apostles went back to the upper room, and it says that they were praying. They were praying. Let me find it in Acts chapter 1. Verse 12, they returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath-day journey. And when they were coming in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, gave all the names. And then this all continued with one accord, having a feast, having a banquet. No. Pray. The apostles needed to pray. They have a lot of things. Their agenda was full. They didn't even know that. But their agenda is going to be so full that they came in and start praying. All of them start praying. And what happened? First of all, there was an earthquake. And then they start speaking in tongues. So the rest of them, and they give you the names of the tongues. Don't be deceived about the speaking in tongues. Even the names of the tongues, there were tongues that the people from this country came, and so boom, there was a boom immediately. You're talking about the gospel's boom. There was one of them right there. They were praying for guidance. In verse 24, it says, and they pray and say, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two has chosen. Now they're replacing the apostle. I mean, that's very important. Very, very important. So they pray again. Then in 2:1 it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord. What were they doing? Praying. In 2:42, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and, don't forget that, and in prayers. You mean the apostles? The Peter, the one that wrote two books. Actually, he wrote three. One did not pass the canon. I'll just give you that free. But anyway, we got First and Second Peter. And that man, John, I mean, John, he wrote five books. And he was, what, 93, 90-something when he wrote them? I mean, why? Well, he knew how to pray, for one thing. He had the master with him. So prayer, 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 prayer. And 2:46, it says, and they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Continually daily in one accord. That is praying. In 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. And you know what happened? There was a miracle there. So God is using them, but they're always in touch with the Lord. Always in touch. Lord, we need this. How do we go? We go left, we go right. We do this. Okay, I'll tell you what he says. Since I cannot tell you right or left, you just go and I go with you. You just can't go wrong with that. You know, you just do it. I'll go with you. Why? Because they've been praying. And then this is how they built a church. This is how they built a church. They all of a sudden had 3,000 people there. And given some more days, and they said, hey, this is just the beginning, as God saying, you know. Hey, just keep on praying, guys. And guess what? You're going to have another 5,000 more. Whoa! Where are you going to put them? That's not the problem. Make them say, save first, you know, save him from hell, and then we'll see what we do with him. Don't worry about space. He will provide. But what I'm trying to say is, it was so important that they saw the Lord Jesus Christ praying during 3 years and change, and they learned a little bit about that. But then Jesus is not there to see him, but he is with them. He's praying in his name. They remember what he told them. And they're doing exactly what he asked them to do. And one of the most important things is prayer. Prayer. In 424. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, they're praying, right? Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that there is in it, or that is them is. Who by mouth of their praying. They learned the subject. What they learned in kindergarten there when they were with the Lord, now they're in high school. Now they're teaching other people how to do it, and they do it, and they teach them by example, and then they tell them how to do things by praying. They're teaching other people by praying, and then Peter writes about praying, Paul writes about praying, John writes about praying. So now they're in college, they're just about to get the doctorate. And what is your doctorate in, Peter? Praying. And John, what is your doctrine? Praying. Doctrine prayer is what they are. They learn and they tell everybody, just keep on doing it. Keep on, it works. And it works. They tell them where to pray, how to pray, how long to pray, how often to pray, what to pray for. And the Lord is listening to them. And you can go on and on and on. 6:4. You go to 6:4. And it says something like this. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And 4. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Do you notice the prayer comes before the ministry? I mean, prayer is part of the ministry, but if I minister and don't pray, my ministry is not going to worth much. But if I pray, the Lord's going to put what to minister, when to minister, to whom to minister, because I don't know the hearts of the people. We go out and knock on doors and this and that. I don't know if the people are saved or not, but he does. But if I pray and I say, Lord, lead us to this and this and this and that. While we're talking about this, I found out that, by the way, we make our own tracts, my wife and I, both in English and Spanish. I know a little bit of Spanish, un poquito, okay? So I do it in Spanish too. But we have done our tracks. 2006, I believe. Eli Descent and Brother Brad from Naughty Oak, one that plays the flute. I went to Germany for the World Cup. And of course we went because that was the result of our prayers. No money, no, no, but we had an idea. And so we went to, like many organizations are doing now, and we printed 45,000 pieces of literature. That's including books of John and the tracts. 15,000 in German, 15,000 in English, and 15,000 in Spanish. With that, we could have covered about 90 6% of all the people that will go to the, mainly because most people speaks English and understands English. But then there's a lot of Latino countries that, you know, they went to the soccer World Cup. And so anyway, we went there and we made our own track. It's got a guy there and you know, shouldn't go and this and that. I mean, nice picture there. And it says, we know who's going to win. and you know what? We're just giving him, oh, it's just getting the win. We're going to start reading. Of course, it was not about soccer. It was about who's going to win, you know, the crown. And we got this idea, so we've been doing this. One of them is, thank you for your service. We just had, after so many years of doing this and that, whatever, she found something real, real cheap to go into a cruise. And she said, would you like to go on a cruise? I said, would I? So we were on a cruise, and we developed this track that says, thank you for your service. And there's a guy, you know, like a waitress doing something like this. And they say, you know, today people don't thank other people about what they do, this and this and that. And it kind of, to the waitresses and anybody that serves you, the car wash boy, whoever. And we took it and we gave them away in the boat to all the people that serve us and all that. In so much that, at one given time, this lady, a Filipino lady, said, sir, you are, start asking me, where are you from, this and this. I thought, I'm a minister, I've been a pastor, I'm a missionary, evangelist now, this and this, and all of that. And it says, would you like to preach at our Christian community? And it's in the bottom of the boat, we meet every now and then, blah, 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 and would you do that? And I said, sure. I said, yes. They didn't let him because now you have to have the approval like a month before, 2 months before. And so anyway, but didn't do it. But we did that because of a tract. And people are not going to come and say, hey, I got saved with this, you know. But they're going to keep them and not tell them what it is. And what it is just verses of the Bible. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, but you have to pray. I don't know who to give it to, but the Lord knows. And then we are in the restaurant. We ask him. We saw Stephanie 2 days ago at some Denny's. And as Stephanie, we usually pray before our meals and all of this. Would it be anything that you want us to pray for? See, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about, you know what I mean? Yes, I'm getting married, this and this and that. Would you please pray for this and this? And where do you go to church? Says, I'm going to San Lucas. There's a church, San Lucas. And I said, okay, well, we pray for you. And we pray that she may remember that somebody want to pray for him. And one given time, when she's got something, she might want to try to read something. And we didn't have a track. Otherwise, we were going to give it to her, you know. But we don't know who we're going to meet, but God does. So anyway, back to this, pray for guidance. They pray for the apostle substitute. They always went praying in one accord. The Lord Jesus said, if the two people on the face of the earth will agree upon something and ask me, I will do it. So it takes only two people. Now, I can see the discussion on a pastor and a deacon, not in this church, okay? But, I mean, they just cannot agree on something. And so, how is the Lord going to bless it? It's just two people. That's all it takes. You guys agree, I'll do it. So, anyway, one accord. Always one accord. Always one accord. Continually in prayer. Lord, what will thou want me to do? That was Paul. Okay? And so we can just go on and on and on and on prayers. On prayers. You go to the book of Revelation and people are praying. The elders are praying. People on the face of the earth are praying. It's all about prayer. When we got saved because of a prayer or through a prayer.
Lord Jesus, forgive me, or Lord, I repent, or Lord, I need you, or whatever words that you have said. It's a prayer. It starts with a prayer.
And I will not say ends with a prayer, because when we get to heaven, we're going to be praising his name every single day. We're going to be praying and praying and praying and praying. So let's not forget the miracle, the gift that he gave us. You can talk to me anytime. I'll listen to you. How many kings do you know? Hey, I'm told you about
president, we try to get him, and it's been 6-7 months, and we're still waiting. I haven't heard from him. But I can talk to the Lord right now, and he listens to me. He's not going to give me everything I ask him. Oh, he knows better than that.
But he listens to me. Our Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, that you have given us the tools to talk to you, to have fellowship with you, to enjoy your company, to thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have given us, and yet those that you're going to still give us in the future, which are much better than the ones we have here. We thank you, Lord, that through a prayer we became your children. And as children, Lord, you listen to us. If we do it in the name of Jesus Christ, your darling, your son. Father, I pray that you bless this church. Please. You know, Lord, the plans. You know the problems, if it's any. You know how profitable they could be, Lord, and bless them, Lord. Each and every one in this church. Bless the rest of the service today, Lord. For we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we love you. Amen.